Yes, board members, I wanted to say thank you for coming together this morning. And I do want to again say my apologies for rescheduling to today. We are always running into, it seems like, barriers or significant delays when it comes to these year-end financials and making sure we just have everything together. Normally, these unaudited are not by Ed Code due to school districts or to the county until September 15, as we have always spoke about. San Bernardino wants them significantly earlier. Now they are wanting theirs today, so that puts us in a little bit of a push. So again, I want to say thank you again for your understanding and your flexibility in moving the meeting from yesterday to today, as well as your understanding. I know I did just send out the documents this morning. So again, I apologize about the tardiness of those documents. And I wanted to just say again, thank you. I think Miss Twilley is on the line, so if she wanted to go ahead and call the meeting to order, I want to be sensitive to everybody's time.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, everyone, and let's definitely call this meeting to order and do what we need to do.
Thank you. So, board members, I will show you our screen. This is an annual report that we need to submit to the our district authorizer, and then it eventually goes to a county. It's a snapshot of how the two schools have done financially throughout the year. So I will begin with El Centro. The form looks a lot like our first interims and our second interims. The items that I do want to give, and I'll give an overview of it, and then I'll be available for any questions. As far as the income statement goes for our El Centro school this year, we did have a loss of, and I'm going to go to that section. We did have a loss of an overall $222,000. That loss is primarily due to under enrollment. We budgeted a certain amount of children. We were not able to enroll those children, and then COVID hit, so then we couldn't even make up any additional children. As you're aware, the state began to determine our apportionments as of February 29, and that held through for the remainder of the year. In Ballington El Centro's situation, if I can scroll down, Ballington El Centro, though, does have a reserve and a contingency balance from prior years, which is really one of the necessities of really having those reserves and those contingencies, so that when you do hit a year that is not as successful for whatever reasons, we had the pandemic, we had other factors this year, that will assist you in offsetting that amount. So Ballington had a prior year's reserve of $737,875. Given that, the school still ends in a positive status, or a positive, I want to say, fund balance net position of $515,000. Board members, as you're aware, we also went, Community Education Development Corp also applied for the PPP loan to help offset some of the impact of the pandemic this last year. This does not include any of the forgiveness of that PPP loan. So once we do get the forgiveness of the PPP loan, then that will impact that ending fund balance significantly. We anticipate we will be eventually able to recognize for El Centro $399,000. Of the PPP loan, which would impact again that ending position. We just know that at this point, since it's not forgiven, we cannot record it as of now. Any questions on El Centro's?
Can you explain a little bit about the loan, what that is? $270,000 and another long-term liability of $20,000. And then the interest, is that is that those loans, or I would assume it is?
The long-term liability is the due to Volunteers of America for El Centro. And then the $270,000, I believe, is the line of credit.
Okay. Oh, so there's only, you only owe $20,000 to VOA?
Correct.
Oh, great.
For El Centro.
Damn, that's been, that's fantastic, Carla. You remember those days down to
$20,000? Oh, yeah. I remember when it was like $400,000, right?
Right on, boy. That's fantastic news, $20,000.
I think prior years, I know El Centro has had a very financially not a good year this year, but I think board members, prior years, as you can see, they did, I want to say, a very positive alignment of, you know, revenues to expenses, which allowed them to be in a better fiscal position this year, despite the loss.
Okay. Doreen, I know this is a challenging question. Do you have an idea or thoughts about, do you think they're going to forgive us down the road? And I know it's crazy on the state and federal and everything.
I believe,
is there any hope?
I believe there's certain, and I don't want to misspeak on the PPP loan. I believe there's certain criteria that we have to meet. For example, I know that it uses salaries, benefits, rent, and utilities, and we just have to demonstrate certain parameters around that. So I believe we just have to wait for that process to come to fruition, and there's probably a 99% chance that we'll get forgiven. Gerald, if I'm misspeaking, please weigh in on that.
Okay. Thank you, Doreen. Yes, I think that clearly we anticipate that because the threshold is so low, we can use it for rents, and also 60% of the money can be used for salaries, for employee salaries and benefits. We do believe that there is a really a 95, 96% chance that we will have all of the loan forgiven. We think we fall within that criteria. So we've had you know, some of our financial people look at it. We've had some of our audit staff look at it, and we feel confident that we should be in really good shape when it comes to forgiveness. Now, we will probably not file for forgiveness until probably November, because we are using certain portions of the PPP money in not only last fiscal year, because we were awarded the grant in May, but we will be using it in the upcoming fiscal year. So we feel very confident that we will be able to meet the threshold that's set forth, particularly allowing us up through December of 2020.
Oh yeah, that was one good thing that they extended that from 8 weeks to 24 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, so, they moved it from 8 to 24 weeks, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, $399,000 PPP, I'm pretty sure they'll be covered, especially with the payroll expenses you had. So I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McFadden. Okay. And thank you, Gerald.
Okay.
Okay, I will transition now to, if there's no
other question. Oh. One more question. You have due from grantor government of $570,000. I know these are accrual basis. Is that a timing difference for money that you are due?
Yes, because they deferred some of the dollars in June. That was part of the deal too with the state and their shortfalls.
Okay, good. I think that's the question I had on El Central.
Okay. If there are no other questions on El Central, I will move on.
Oh, sorry, I have one more. Last one. You have an adjustment restatement of $693,000. What is that?
Is that
on the fund balance?
Up higher, right?
It's on page 3.
Right here, right above your
is it right there?
Your highlighted area, right, 693.
That is our unrestricted dollars. And there's a combination of two sources. So it's our unrestricted and then our restricted to give us a total restricted dollars.
So, oh, no, I see what it is. There's a beginning balance. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Disregard my question.
That's okay. It was just the combination between the unrestricted and the restricted. They separated out.
Yeah. I see that. Sorry. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I will then move forward to San Bernardino. San Bernardino board members, as a new school, is not as much in as great a financial position as El Centro. They do not have a large reserve to cover any challenging years. San Bernardino also had a challenging year, and I will share the two contributing factors to this was primarily revenue. We lost in the month of December, and this is an estimate. The school experienced about 50% of their students were absent due to a flu-like illness, which significantly impacted their ADA. And unfortunately, then the pandemic hit and they couldn't recoup. Basically, our ADA kind of followed us throughout the rest of the year. In addition to that, there was an anticipated payments for our special education encroachment, which really significantly impacted San Bernardino. San Bernardino, as you know, throughout the year struggled, and those two additional factors significantly impacted the school.
Lorene, could you talk a little bit about what the encroachment is and the dollar amount of that encroachment and when that came in terms of timing?
So the encroachment amount came in, ultimately it was $208,000, and that hit the school in June. So that was the last month at that point. Just to speak very highly, 10,000 foot level, what encroachment is California provides a certain amount of funding for special education. So it's per each student, say, and I'm just gonna use very general numbers. Say they give us $500 per student. Usually special education costs significantly more. So if they look at our special education costs, and say our special education cost $600, that $100 difference is what they call an encroachment, and in a sense that encroaches into your other operating revenue. In San Bernardino, we're in a position, as you know, the San Bernardino City School District provides all of our special education services. So Valington Academy pays an equal share of those special education excess costs. So if the school district has a certain amount of overage, they look at that overage and they distribute it evenly across all of their schools within their pool. And that ends up how sometimes, you know, they can estimate that the encroachment at the beginning of the year is gonna be X amount. At the end of the year, when they realize all of their different expenses, that's how sometimes the encroachment will increase. I know that probably at a later discussion, there is definitely positives and negatives about being a school of the district for special education purposes. We've never had that opportunity in El Centro. El Centro always said you're on your own, which also brings with it, different elements of risk. For example, you have to provide all your services. You have to, find the services. If knock on wood, if there's a huge special education student that might need to be referred to a non-public school option, the school bears that cost. Knock on wood, we in El Centro, we haven't had that. The positive in San Bernardino is the district assumes that cost. So again, we can definitely at a later board meeting discuss sort of the nuances between the different special education models. Ultimately, in this case, San Bernardino reserves their services from San Bernardino School District. We have to, in a sense, pay our fair share of the excess cost of their special education program.
That $208,000, what does that go back to? I mean, if it's something you have to pay back.
We have to pay it back.
Yeah, and so who do you pay it back to?
The school district, our authorizer.
Oh, okay.
It's an expense.
Yes.
So those were really the two contributing factors that has presented such a huge negative ending balance for San Bernardino. Unlike El Centro, San Bernardino had a minimum amount of reserve, $12,700. Applying that to the fund balance, it brings our overall shortage to $422,000. This also does not include any relief from the PPP loan, again, because we cannot realize it. Board members, in your notes, I think I was being extremely optimistic, and I said that the PPP ending balance would be the 422,822. That's a correction, and it's actually for San Bernardino, the PPP offset would be $271,657. Which would leave a shortfall for San Bernardino for the year of about $150,000. I will answer any questions for San Bernardino.
Yeah, there's a... Under the liabilities, there's a $500,000. I'm just looking for, where did I see it?
Right at the very, near the bottom of the page.
It's page 4 of 6.
Right, 4 of 6.
Yes. Could you explain that?
Yes, those are the due to Volunteers of America, much like El Centro in the beginning of the startup, Volunteers of America had provided also San Bernardino with some startup funding, and that's where that is reflected.
I see.
Well, you answered my two questions, the 208 and the 500,000, so I'm good.
Yeah, me too. I'm good.
Any additional questions?
What's the significance of the unaudited actuals? Are these going to be audited, or is that just a qualifier for this particular report?
It's basically where do you stand at year end prior to your audit. So our auditor will come in. It's a preliminary, so you want it as close as possible. Right. Ultimately, though, an auditor comes in and does their work.
Okay. And what are the typical, you know, when in previous years, how typically does the auditor come in and this changes a little bit? Like, what kind of things do they typically find that might change this?
Prior years, there has been almost minimal changes, pretty much right on, or if there was a an adjustment by prior state income, but pretty much it's been very close to these.
Okay.
I know this year, I'm not sure how they'll be working with the PPP and how that falls out. So that could impact us there.
There are different.
I can tell you it's a nightmare for all accountants this year or for the next year's audit. So.
Okay. Yeah. And I would say, I just echo what Carla is saying. Different auditors basically have different opinions about how to apply PPP, when it can be applied. Can it be applied as revenue in this particular year if you use it in this year, or does it have to be held out as a loan? It's just a lot of interpretation issues. So, Christy, that's what Doreen is talking about. There could be really some adjustments. We believe that there'll be favorable adjustments for us in terms
right.
of it,
okay.
but we don't believe that there'll be any adjustments that will be more adverse. At this particular
right.
point in time.
And Christy, in all the years I've been on the board, there has been hardly any adjustment. So they're doing a great job.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Board members, do you have any additional questions?
None from me.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the 6/30/2020 financials, unaudited financials for Ballington El Centro and Ballington San Bernardino as presented.
And
I'll second it.
Christy, I will second that.
We got two, huh? Can I?
We had Dilda as one, and I think Denise, did you second it as well?
I think that was Christy.
Yeah, that was Christy. That was me.
Okay. So we had a double second.
I know. Is there any discussion? Okay, I'll call for the vote. I have to do a roll call vote at this point because we're telephonic. Carla?
Yes.
Dilda?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay.
Are there any other items on the agenda that we were going to discuss, or any other issues that we need to discuss?
That was the only item on the agenda. I don't know if board members, you have additional items for your closing comments. Nope.
Okay. I see the date and time of our next meeting is September 15th, 2020, 5:30, right?
Right.
5:30, yes.
Okay.
And in all probability, it will still be a Zoom meeting.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, if there are no other comments, we can adjourn.
You guys have a great rest of the day and a great weekend as well.
You too.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
all
you,
right.
sir.
All right.
Thank you, sir. All meeting right. adjourned.
Bye,
Thank
everybody.
You.
Bye-bye.
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 Does have any questions for anybody that's presented so far?